Cardiff Carnival 25th anniversary project. Interviewer, Steve Fletcher. Interviewee, Siobhan Grice. Location of the interview, Swicker office. And today's date is the 19th of October 2015. Before we start, Siobhan, would you be kind enough to spell your name in full?
Certainly. My name is Siobhan Grice, S-I-O-B-H-A-N-G-R-I-C-E.
Thank you very much indeed. How did you first make contact with Cardiff Carnival?
I was involved with a dance group that Sally ran. I just went along to the classes, and as it happened, they were rehearsing for the 98 Carnival. So that's I started off as a dancer.
So Sally McLennan was your gateway, and she still is for many people to this very day. The musical director, which involves dance as well, obviously, for the Carnival crew. So, I mean, you know, there's Sally dates right back in time. And in 1998, you were a dancer in the Carnival.
A dancer, yes.
So can you remember what you were wearing, perhaps? What kind of costume did you have?
I know we had big headdresses.
And what a surprise.
Yes. And it was quite Egyptian-type costumes lots of blues and silvers.
I can see the costume in my mind's eye. We have a picture of that, which will be going into the archive.
Okay,
so, we can tell you that that's what you were wearing. I got pictures of you going over Cathays Bridge, I think.
Oh, right, yes.
That's where we have some really nice shots of you in costume and the rest of it, which is smashing. And you'd have been dancing to samba drumming?
Samba drumming. So it was the first time that I'd ever done street dance, and also the first time really that I've been involved in something that was, you know, dancing to that type of music. So it was really quite exciting.
And it was a sunny day, I think, as
I
remember.
So it was great fun.
Did you get involved in the making of the costumes as well, or were you primarily about movement?
Yes, I did. I did. We were down in Cathay.
In the community centre?
In the community centre, and I vividly remember it. We were making the costumes, and I looked up, and there was a rainbow over the camp. So that was a really nice
A good sign. We weren't going to be flooded that year.
Yes.
For those of you with biblical aspirations or connotations. Yeah, so after having danced with Sally in a dance group, in 98, what happened next?
Well, 99, I came... came to the opening of the carnival, of the launch party, and which was the first time I'd been to the launch party.
Yeah.
And I went in and I spoke to you about possible work. So I came, you had the... as the sort of welcoming committee. I'm not sure the job title. So that's when I was involved on a work basis with the carnival.
Would you have been a trainee at that point? Or
No, I was...
You were full-time?
As the sort of, I don't know, front of house welcoming
person.
As people came in, I'd be...
That's a really important position, because we always try and attract new people. Mm-hmm. And having a welcoming... face and a positive attitude, which you'd be glad to know you still possess, is really important. So I can see you. And in 99, were we at Chapter?
Yes.
I thought so. Right here. So we were in what used to be the gym, and it's now called the studio. And you're there. I can see it now. You're there as our, what can I say? Receptionist. Let's put it that. Embodying the camp.
And it was a really nice job, because it meant I got to meet everybody that was involved.
Right.
A lot of people had not, had not done that.
Did you have to stop anybody escaping or whatever? let me out of there.
Everybody was really happy to be there, and it was a lovely sort of creative environment. And what I especially loved about it was that it was sort of a real fusion of the arts. Like, I come from an art background, visual art background, but with the camp it was a mixture of the music, dance, art, and performance, and whatever people wanted to do. It was very open, and very open for people to bring their own creativity there, as well as following the sort of more structured
I think we only
approach.
Had one secret rule, which was no Simpsons.
Yes.
it's a, you know, when there is an overarching theme, mm-hmm. it's you know, there's a blank piece of paper, but secretly it'd be like, I can remember one year going like, okay, whatever we do, we mustn't produce Power Rangers. You know, it's like, no, it's just not us, you know. No. And given that you were our hostess with the mostest, mm-hmm. Can you remember, did you get to play a costume on the day itself this year?
I did, yes.
Excellent. Yeah, what were you in 99?
I had a blue costume. I was part of the blue people. I'm not sure what the name of it was, but I did my own thing because I wasn't specifically with that group. But yes. I had blue paint all over my face and my body, and I made a kind of blue leather sort of belt with lots of feathers on and a headdress.
Well. Yeah,
and really out of a lot of the scraps of material, so it was quite
it's often the case that the artists and the workers involved are, well, they put themselves last, so it's only until the last few days that suddenly goes like, right. Whoops, you know, I've helped facilitate hundreds of costumes, and suddenly it's like, oh, what am I going to look like on the day,
you know? That's right, yeah, no, because you're not specifically with the section, you've got to go around all the different groups.
Yes. Running up and down the line, sort of just.
Yeah, but those were my colours, so that's why I wanted to be in that group.
Oh, gosh, that's fantastic.
And also, it was the drumming group were with them, so it was people were dancing, and I can't quite remember the name of them, but it was.
It was an offshoot of Run Darmental.
That's it. Yes.
Yes.
That's it.
So who'd done it for a number of years, and
yes. Yeah.
So would you have been holding?
I was holding something to make. Oh no, I wasn't actually. I had my wand, my pink fairy wand, because I started off before I joined the carnival. I just sort of got a performance piece up and running, which was pink fairy.
Does the pink fairy still exist?
She hasn't surfaced recently, but yes, she still exists.
Excellent. Well, that's good to know. I've got really fond memories of the pink. I could see the wand in my mind's eye, and then you had sort of like a mini feather boa sort of wrapped around.
So it was kind of a cross between a sort of a blue warrior type costume with my pink
meets the pink fairy.
Yes, but I did go in as a pink fairy during one of the carnivals.
Definitely,
but I think that was for the Rugby World Cup,
right?
When we were parading the streets. I think before the game.
Yes, definitely.
So that's when I
you actually pink fairied it big time.
Yes.
So after 1999, what happens next? Tell us more about your carnival adventures.
Well, after 1999, the carnival, I had a life changing experience because I met in the carnival, which is a mix of, you know, Caribbean cultures. It mixes. It is truly a intercultural experience. I met the father of my children, who's from St. Vincent. Some of the people running the carnival, some of the people making the costumes and working alongside Swicker were there. So I actually became a mother as a consequence of the carnival.
Yeah, what does carnival mean for you? Motherhood. It's a good
and
answer.
It was.
It's
and
a good
for, answer. The way I see it is that really I was kind of a mother figure when I was meeting people in the carnival. So it sort of almost led into my role as a mother. However, I did continue with the carnivals, and I brought my children along there. Even there was one carnival when Rose, my daughter, was a couple of months old, and I had her in my my little papoose during the carnival. So I just integrated life. I think that's the great thing about the carnival. It is very much an all-inclusive family event. And so it didn't disclude me because I was, which often happens when you're in the creative industries, is that it's very much not family or child friendly.
Definitely.
So that was the great thing about it for me anyway. So
it.
I could continue. I didn't work in the carnival, but I always brought my children and they got involved in the culture of the
literally
carnival
babies.
Yes, they were carnival babies, yes.
Which is a lovely, yes.
Yes.
Oh, I think that's fantastic. Could you say a little bit So obviously, yeah, carnival is something we share. Mm-hmm. Perhaps a bit about your arts practice, because I associate you with lots of interesting, exciting and spiritual things.
That's right, yes.
For future generations.
Uh-huh. In fact, as I was thinking of what the carnival meant to me, I did think that there is a certain spiritual element to the carnival as well, because I felt that the whole drumming aspect of it is can draw parallels with quite shamanic work, and especially the tradition of going through the streets the night before the carnival.
The poor man's carnival.
Well, I think that's...
So if I say, you know me well, jab, mm-hmm. No, sorry, let's get it right. I come from hell. Jab, jab. You know me well.
Jab, jab.
I come from hell. Jab, jab. Sorry. Simple but effective.
That's it. And that tradition is to clear out any of the bad spirits the night before the carnival.
Excellent.
So, like, for me, the work I do is quite... I'm an artist. I'd done my master's just before... in 98, I finished that. So 99 being the first... the year I joined, or 898, the year I joined the carnival. I'm a painter, is the practice I'm doing at the moment. I use...
Do you have a studio at home?
I have a studio at home, fantastic. Yes. Last year was...
And the light at Porthcawl, the light.
Yes,
it's the St. Ives of the South Wales. Am I making this up? The light is good.
The light is very good, excellent. Yeah. It is. It's. I was living in Cardiff at the time of the carnival, but I moved to Porthcawl, which is my hometown, and it is beautiful. I sort of used that sort of the nature around as part of to influence my work, but I also do beach art, and I go into the environment to create artworks, land art, beach art, land art. Go into schools doing sort of willow projects, and also
presumably that means you're aware of one of the regular company jokes, which is another word for willows, is of course withies. Why are they called withies? Because withies we're going to make something. Have I never used
sorry,
that?
No,
you never heard. I hereby gift you that rather
thank
sad
you.
Joke.
I'll remember that one.
Don't think you ever have to use it. I mean, you know. Yeah. Sorry.
It also combines my artwork. When I'm doing, say, beach art, I started that 2010 with a residency I had on Coney Beach, which is sort of probably not the most spiritual place you'd think of, but I decided to take up the challenge of making Coney Beach, which is right by the fairground, right by Treco Bay, very, very public beach, and there's a lot of litter that tends to be left.
A bit of donkey droppings in the summer?
And donkey droppings and everything in the summer.
Yeah.
And I decided to have do a month's residency there.
Wow.
And visit the beach every single day, do a kind of beach clean, take personal responsibility for the environment, taking care of the environment, and creating a kind of sacred connection with that space, to see if I could change the energy of what was already there. Not that there was anything wrong with the energy there, but I mean just that whole sort of environmental and just being in nature, because usually I would go somewhere quite remote, such as Skye, and make where I've got my own sort of stone circle, and I go, and it's very much conducive to somewhere you would more likened to a sacred space.
Yes.
Whereas Coney
Not
Beach
in public
isn't.
View, is it?
No. Not in public view. So it was kind of, for me, it was a bit of a coming out of not.
What was the public reaction to finding you doing this? Because there you were, you're really accessible, aren't you?
Yeah. Well, that's the whole point, is because to be visible.
Yeah.
Picking up rubbish, inviting people to come along to pick up rubbish, but also to invite people to make artwork on the beach. And, you know, and then it wasn't obviously a spiritual act. It was more because sort of the intention was there that that's what I was doing. I was connecting with that environment to improve the environment and to connect with people that were there. But in actual fact, the last day that I was there, it was on the 31st of August. There is crowds come to see the firework display because it's a seaside town. And in fact, I started to make lanterns, and that was the first time it would probably be maybe a little bit more spiritual in looking.
Yeah, really.
And there's big crowds of people came up, and teenagers, not really anybody else, sort of 15, 16-year-olds that were hanging around with nothing to do other than wait for the fireworks to happen. So they came round and they were kind of getting involved. And one person said, oh, my gosh, I can't believe we're on Coney Beach. It's totally different. It's like being in another place. So for me, it worked.
It's transformative arts, isn't it? Yes, it's the power of it. Which brings us full circle, because that's certainly one of the ways in which I like to think of carnival arts is it's that whole the world turned upside down, even if nine tenths of it is, as you pointed out, at the carnival camp, but for one day in the year, you know, you've got the Lord of Misrule gives his or her powers to us all to transgress and to what can I say, you know. Well, just turn the normal everyday order upside down.
That's it, absolutely. I think it does it. I think, because it's not about people being trained or people being professionals or people being having to be a certain type of person to be involved. It does give everybody a
chance.
It's
one of the few art forms which I feel is genuinely accessible.
It is. It's very inclusive.
And that even includes people who don't want to make the art. So, I mean, it's like, this year we were at Fitzalan, and there were some boys who were brought there as part of family groups by their mums, and they played football outside, and then they'd perhaps come in and have a drink or whatever, and that's fine too. There's no right or wrong with carnival. It's not prescriptive, is it? Nobody's going, it's like,
absolutely,
you have to do the following.
No, absolutely.
There's only one road to follow, and it's just no.
And I think that transformative thing is very evident, because you can have people that's coming in that are very shy, very introvert, or very, they don't want to be centre attention, but they get caught up in the whole energy.
Yes.
And as they see their friends or their groups transform, then it sort of, it brings them out of themselves, and it puts them into a place where they can experiment, and they can try something out that they wouldn't normally do.
Absolutely.
And I think the duration of the camp, because it lasts 3 weeks, people could come in and be quite sort of objective about it and stand back. But I think by the time it finishes, you can't help but get involved, and to, even if they thought they wouldn't, I think it really brings people out, which is a great sort of self-empowering tool that you that happens quite naturally without forcing people to be creative or to be part of something.
So pleased that this interview took place. I thank you for your eloquence. And whilst it's invisible and it's still eternal, I hereby award you, Siobhan Grace, the title of Cardiff Carnival Queen. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Steve.